There you go. Okay, so Revelation. Yeah, I'll just start reading while you're getting ready. So Revelation 2, I want to read Revelation 2, a couple of verses from Revelation 2, starting with verse 2. I know all the things you do. I have seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not. You have discovered that they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works that you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. But this is in your favor. You hate the evil deeds of the Nicolaitans, just as I do. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. To everyone who is victorious, I will give fruit from the tree of life and the paradise of God. So that is our that's our goal. But, you know, I feel like this word is for the Big C church. I feel like this word is starting, you know, I've shared it actually some of this with my own church and with a couple of other ministries, but I haven't shared it in full. You know, this is the first time I will have shared everything I feel like the Lord's given me to share over it. And I think he wants to start here because he knows your hearts. I see pure hearts here. I see purified people. And I see in your pastor that he has a love and an anointing to reach out to like other churches and other he loves discipleship. Like he wants to see, I know when I was here before, I remember him saying, we're at least encouraging you guys to get with other churches. It didn't matter the denomination. Like we're all the same. We're all under the same God. It's the same God we serve, and to be unified. And that's what Jesus prayed in John 17. You know that he wants us to be unified. So, okay. So you can go to the next one, actually. So this is the word that I am releasing today for you. And I want to make it clear, this is not just like for you. I think that what I'm going to say today is also for me. I'm not perfect either, and I feel like that the words the Lord gave me were for myself as well, to bring me closer to him and to get me to love deeply. So I'm not like giving you a word in a condemning way. I'm giving us a word this morning, so if that makes sense to you. So the Lord says, practice agape love every day. Love my people. Show them what unconditional love looks like. Loving others is how you love me. For what is coming next, you will need a deeper love. I need you to love at a deeper level, a love that not only overlooks offenses, but also stands in the gap and pleads to the Father. Forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing. A love that blesses when cursed, a love that contends for salvation and deliverance in spite of the spit in your face. So you can go to the next slide. So this kind of love, and I believe, is only possible through deep consecration. And I wanted to talk about what that is, and then hopefully we can walk in that today. So, or at least learn about it and begin walking in it. So consecration means to be set apart. And this, I just Googled how to be consecrated to God. This is what it says on Wikipedia or Wiki something. I forget. Something, it wasn't even, I'm saying this as a secular site, okay? But I agreed with it. I was like, all right, I'll just use that because that's what I'm trying to get at today. I feel like that's what the Lord wants me to get at today. Consecrate yourself by devoting yourself to the Lord, repenting of your sins, and affirming your faith through baptism, prioritizing your spiritual life over the earthly life, draw closer to God through prayer and biblical study, and act according to his will. So you can go on to the next slide. I just want to point out Hosea 6:6 that says, I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. And I just wanted to highlight the two words, sacrifices and offerings, that we are not sacrificing enough to the Lord. You know, remember when the very first thing I just read said, you don't love me or my people. And in fact, actually, that's how we love God. We can't wrap our arms around him. I wish that I could. Don't you wish Jesus could just manifest and like so we could physically see him, because we live in a physical body, so we want to just hug him and embrace him And I think that that's, we're all of us, we sing these songs, we sing them from our heart. We really do want to love him, right? We really do want to embrace him. We really do say, you know, you're the one thing, and I love you, and we really mean that. But the thing is, he said the way we show love to him is by taking care of his sheep. Remember that? So that's his people. He wants us to love each other. That's how we love him. That's how we embrace him, is when we embrace each other. You can go to the next. So therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. I brought this verse up because the verse I just read to you from Hosea is in the Old Testament. And a lot of people think we don't need to do sacrifices anymore. Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. And indeed, he was the ultimate sacrifice for our eternal salvation into heaven. He's our only way. But we are, according to this verse, we are still to offer sacrifices. We offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise. But you know what happened when, in the Old Testament, if a priest, which that's what we are now, by the way, we are priests according to Scripture. We have been made priests by Jesus Christ. We can go into the Holy of Holies at any given time, any moment. We're there right now, I believe. So we are priests. But in the Old Testament, if a priest came to offer up something and wasn't consecrated, then it wasn't a fragrant smell. It was a smell that stinketh in the Lord's nose. So when you offer praise to him and you have offense or something negative on your mind, or you're even being distracted, that's not really a good kind of praise. It's not a good offering to him. And I'll talk more about that as we go on next. I wanted to bring this up. It's interesting. It's a verse that everybody's familiar with this when it comes to giving, tithing. It gets brought up a lot. Dave Ramsey brings it up. You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings, and I'm believing in the form of love. I'm focusing on that today, so I put that in parentheses. So here's the verse, Malachi 3, 8 through 10. You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings in the form of love due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me by not loving deeply. Bring all that you owe me. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. I believe that if you apply this with the ideal of love, deep love, that when it talks about open the windows of heaven, that's revival. I believe revival is going to pour out through the nations, and it's going to start in Ohio. I believe that. I believe that that's what God wants, and I've prayed into it. I know that's bold and powerful words, but I believe it. I believe this is it. I believe that this is the end time harvest. He wants laborers, and he wants that us to love more deeply. And I'm going to talk about a few things that I've noticed that have helped me, like when I'm ministering to other people, and have helped me personally, that I think will help you love more deeply. So the next verse says, why not rather yourself suffer wrong and be deprived of what is your due? Why not rather be cheated? And we are so worried about getting, you know, being honored and getting the right attention from people, and they didn't do this, or they didn't see me, or they don't care about me, or they didn't care if I showed up, or, you know, we are so caught up in our minds, and it's a trap of the devil. The enemy is doing this, feeding us lies. We've got to learn, you can go back to the slide before that. We've got to learn to put ourselves aside. We've got to learn to put ourselves aside and say, you know what, I would not rather be cheated in love and not worry so much about that we didn't get treated right. And, you know, the verse right before that from Malachi talks about us cheating God. We don't think a thing about that we're cheating God when we don't love others, but we insist on our own way, so we would rather cheat God in several different aspects. And so I feel like this verse really went along with, again, this is New Testament being tied into Old Testament. You can go to the next verse. And I already mentioned this. How do we love Jesus? Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said, John 21:16. And then Matthew 25:40 says, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, you were doing it to me. So I want to take a minute on this slide and a pause here, because I feel like that we get this ideal that there's this little lost lamb, and it's really cute. And I actually brought what I would call like a little lost lamb. I been packing this around. So we get this idea like, oh, if we could just go find her or him or, you know, whatever, whoever that person is that's kind of wandered away from the Lord's word, we get the picture of they're just cute as can be. Oh my goodness, you're so cute. I'll run after you. I'll leave the 99 and I'll run after you. And I just got this word from the Lord that this isn't what we're running after. They're usually the black sheep. They're usually the ones that are not wanting us to catch up with them. They're running as hard as they can. They're hiding in caves. They're hiding from us. And they need help. Sometimes I even think some of them are so oppressed by the enemy, they don't know what they're doing. And that's where we can come like Jesus and say, oh, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. They're lashing out at me, but they're just like an animal in a cage. They're lashing out at everything. Life isn't going right for them, and they just need you. So I just wanted to point out that when you're told to take care of the sheep, it's not easy. And I don't know, thought that would help. It's been helping me. I've been packing it for quite a while now and using that. So you can go to the next slide. It's okay. So just from 1 John 4:11-12 says, "Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us." So again, this is not only how we love, it's how we receive love. He wants his people to be in unity, just like the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are in unity. He wants us in unity. You can go to the next one. "But the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander." Matthew 15:18-19. So this emphasizes your thoughts. This means that even if you're doing the right thing, you're giving that person the hug and you're nobody could tell from looking at you that you're not loving as deeply as you should be, but you're having thoughts. And even our thoughts, remember Jesus said if you have a bad thought about somebody, it's like murder, right? So if you had a bad thought that you didn't take captive and you let it grow, in a sense, it's like that person's bleeding spiritually. So I had this idea in my mind that if you could see that person begin to bleed as soon as you allowed that thought to start, you know, I guess, growing in your mind, you would be less likely to hold on to it. You'd be like, no, I'm getting rid of that. I want to get rid of that thought because that person's bleeding. I don't want them to bleed anymore because of me. I don't want to bring blood. Like, when we see blood, it usually brings alarm to us, right? If you saw me start bleeding right now, you would be like, oh, there's something wrong. She needs help. The help is in the form of us. We are the help. We're called to be the first responders. We're called to be there to pick people up. Our world is falling apart. And I feel like your word was really very powerful, Charlie, that you gave, that the Lord gave you to give this morning. The kingdoms are falling apart, but the Lord's kingdom stands forever. And if you want to be part of that kingdom, he needs you. What I believe he was wanting me to tell you this morning is you need to rise up into a higher form of love because God is love. And when that spirit of love is fully manifested in you, nothing will hold you back. You will be able to, everywhere you step will be revival. You go in the grocery store, revival is going to break out. People are going to see the power of God on you if you walk in the fullness of love that I believe God wants you to have. And a lot of people, and maybe some of you that are listening to me right now, think, I'm a loving person. I don't really feel like this message is for me. But I feel like that if you go all the way to the thought patterns, I believe this message is for everybody. We all need to take captive our thoughts and not let things, offenses and things grow in us like we have been. So you can go to the next slide. So I just want to ask you some questions, and then I have a parable that I feel like the Lord wants me to share with you, a modern-day parable. You know, Jesus used parables to get messages across to his people, and I think this parable will help you make more sense of what I'm trying to say. So let me just ask you some questions. Do you love the outcast? Do you love people who slander you? Do you love the gossiper? Do you love the murderer? Do you love the one who is spilling blood in your church right now? Do you love the one who is spilling your blood right now? And just stay on that screen. Just leave it on that screen while I read this parable. So here's the parable. There was a certain family who had many cats and loved them all very dearly. They treated them like royalty. feeding them delectable meals, pampering them with cat toys, and caressing them daily. Over time, this family became known as cat lovers. And from time to time, people would secretly discard their unwanted cats nearby. These stray cats usually became feral and lived off the land on the family's homestead. From time to time, the feral cats would come near the house and eat the crumbs left over from the family's pet cats. Some would come more regularly, but still maintain their wild behavior, and rarely could the family get near them. One of these cats would come closer than the others. The family fondly called him Gray Kitty. He wanted to be a part of what the pet cats were doing. He would follow them around and would even go inside their cat house from time to time, but he would never allow anyone to pet him or give him any attention. Even so, the children began to care for him from a distance, speaking of him affectionately and leaving out extra crumbs for him. In time, another stray that became dear to the family was a black cat who had been thrown out of a vehicle as a kitten. One night, the family heard terrible screeching and screaming outside their front door. When they opened the door, there was blood splattered across the front door. The family was horrified. Gray Kitty and Black Kitty had gotten in a fight, and Black Kitty was bleeding terribly. But thankfully, the family was able to get Black Kitty some help, and his life was spared. However, the master of the house was very upset with the behavior of Gray Kitty, threatening to destroy him to prevent such an incident from ever occurring again. But the wife interceded on Gray Kitty's behalf, begging for his life to also be spared. The wife reasoned with the master of the house that Gray Kitty was just now beginning to learn to trust, and that she still loved him even though he had been very bad, and brought blood from a fellow castaway. The wife pleaded his case, saying, "Master, give him another chance, and I'll give him special attention and plenty of food. And then if he doesn't develop good behavior, then you can remove him." The master of the house relented, and therefore both lives were spared. And I feel like this parable is, in case you didn't pick up on it, I think it's okay because Jesus explained his parables too. So in case you didn't pick up on it, I feel like there's some things in this parable. It's a parable about the heart of God. This is a parable about how God cares for his rejects and throwaways and about how the Holy Spirit intercedes for them. It's a message about a God of justice with a Holy Spirit who pleads for grace. It's a parable about loving the hurt and wounded, yet loving the bad guy too. However, most of all, it is a parable about how two of his loved ones harming each other breaks the heart of God. And that's exactly what we're doing when God's people hurt each other. And I think that as I'm reading this, I want to caution you to not go completely to a comparison between you and the outside world. This is actually meant for a comparison between two Christian people. I doubt there's anyone in here that doesn't love the people that are walking in sin, the people we see on TV that are doing the things they shouldn't be doing, changing body parts and things like that. We love them. We want to help them. And I don't think there's anyone in here would say no to that. I think you all agree that there's lost ones that definitely need our help. But there are also people in the church, and that's who I'm speaking to today. I'm speaking to the people in the church that you're actually spilling blood when you come against a fellow believer. But God loves you both. He's interceding, the Holy Spirit's interceding to the Father on your behalf, on the one who's wounded and the one who's inflicting it. He sees you. He loves you both, and he wants us to love both sides of that party as well, the one who is wounded and the one who is actually attacking and causing the blood. So I don't know if you picked up on it as I became emotional, but this parable actually happened. This is our home and our family, and we are the cat lovers. And I have a picture of what that front door looked like, so I'm going to show that next. So this was from one kitty. And I remember that night, it was after midnight, we were so horrified. And I couldn't sleep all night. And I kept saying, "Lord, why can't I sleep?" And he said, "There's some message here. There's some message here." So he was showing me that if we could see this, we would stop doing what we're doing. We would love deeper. All of us, and me too. We would all love deeper if we could see the blood we're causing when we allow bad thoughts to grow in our mind and don't take them captive. So you can go to the next slide. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. Galatians 5:15, living by the Spirit's power. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. So here's the part where I'm going to start talking about ways that you can help yourself not harbor these bad thoughts. And you can go to the next one. What are we known for? Our God is known for his mercy, compassion, and unfailing love. And Jonah 4:2, he says, I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. So I just feel like we became known around our neighborhood as cat lovers. And so the rejects are kind of sent around us because they know we will feed them and we will take care of them. And I just felt like that's the way we should be as people of God. We should be known as people lovers, and that we're going to help take care of them. And we're not going to hurt anybody, especially within our own walls. We're going to love with a love that's just like Jesus. He was being hammered on the cross and saying, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. He was being spit on, and he still said, forgive them, Father. He loves these people, even when they were doing terrible, despicable things. He forgave them. He loves them. That's the way we're called to love. You can go to the next slide. So I think that this will help you, just keeping this in mind. Galatians 6:8-10 says, it's a spiritual law, it says you reap what you sow, basically. And everybody usually thinks, okay, I sow love and kindness, and then I'm going to reap love and kindness, which I believe is true. But I believe that it may not always be from the same person. So you need to get in your mind that you might love someone who never loves you back. You might show kindness to somebody who just does not like you, and you have no control over that. You can pray, and sometimes that changes, but sometimes it doesn't. You have to be okay with God's spiritual law that says you reap what you sow. Galatians 6:8-10. So I encourage you to read that maybe later. And I will give your Pastor Brad, a copy of my notes, so you don't have to like write all this down. So if you want a copy of these, you can get it from him. There's a book I read called The Bait of Satan by John Bevere, and he talks about this spiritual law, and I just wanted to read to you a couple sentences about what he said about this spiritual law of reaping what you sow, but not always from the same person you sowed it into. No longer did I see it as a failure when love wasn't returned from the person I was giving it to. If more Christians recognized this, they wouldn't give up and become offended. Usually this is not the type of love we walk in. We walk in a selfish love that is easily disappointed when our expectations are not met. But if I have no expectations about someone, anything given is a blessing and not something owed. In other words, I'm going to reword that with the scripture that I shared with you. Anything given is an offering. So when you love, and it's easy to love your children, it's easy to love your spouse most of the time, but it's easy to love the people that are close to you. But when you love someone who's been bitter to you or unkind to you or even given you mean looks, that's an offering to God. You're making a sacrifice. And I believe that that is a fragrant offering to him. You can go to the next one. This one's one I actually wanted to share this with you. It's just like a little strategy to help you. Bless those that curse you, advice. So this is my advice. This is just advice that something I've said, like if I'm in a prayer session with somebody who's struggling with hurt that somebody's caused them, I might say something like this. I just kind of paraphrased it just to show you something you could do that will help you. So I would say to this person, God sees all you're going through, so that validates their trouble. They know, okay, God sees this. So remind them, God's seeing this. God's seeing your trouble and all your heartache. He's on his way to your rescue. Look for him to show up, even today. Look for every little good thing that you can think of and praise him. And Jesus said that those who are faithful with a little will be given more. So look, I'm reminding you the same way I would remind somebody I was sitting down in a ministry prayer session with. I'm reminding you, look for every little thing you can think of to praise him for when you're under these kinds of attacks where you feel overwhelmed by someone's bitterness or hatred toward you, is try and think of all the things you can be thankful for, and then God will bless that. He blesses those acts of obedience. Jesus also said to bless those who curse you. So I encourage you to bless everyone involved, not the sin, but the person God plans them to be. So just like that prayer that I prayed at the beginning, the opening prayer, that's a good prayer to pray for anybody. It doesn't have to be that type of thing. That's the kind of thing you'd pray for yourself. God, only let words come out of my mouth that would be from the Father. You could pray that for somebody who's cursed you. That's a blessing prayer. But it also is praying against what they're doing. So it's a way to bless and not curse, but it's also a way to make that blessing fruitful. So I often will do that if I feel like that someone's saying or doing something they shouldn't be doing, then I'll often pray that. I will pray, enable them to live the life that's worthy of the call you have on them, God. I pray that for myself. Why not pray that for them? Give them the power to accomplish every good thing that their faith prompts them to do. You can't go wrong with that, because if they're doing it in faith and it's being prompted through faith. So those kind of prayers, that's what you pray for yourself. Pray it for your enemy, the person. And I'm not saying enemy like actual enemy. It might be someone who's even in the room with you right now. They've hurt you. And, you could pray that for them, and God will honor that. So the next one is just another example, the priestly blessing. Again, I already mentioned that we are priests. So we have the capability of blessing and not cursing. We have the capability to bless people, and God will honor it. Look at these words. It says at the bottom, I'm going to skip to the bottom and I'll come back and read the whole thing, but it says, whenever Aaron and his sons, they were the priests, blessed the people of Israel in my name, I myself will bless them. So I believe that because they were priests, they were given a special anointing to bless. And I believe because we're priests, we all still have the same anointing. We can bless. We have the power to bless people. And here's the blessing. Here's the priestly blessing right here. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. And we have trouble praying that for people who have done us wrong, because we have vengeance in mind. We think, why would I want him to smile on them and be gracious to them? They just hurt me. They hurt my daughter. They hurt my son. They hurt me. Why would I want to do that? But again, remember, this is a fragrant offering. And think about this. If the God's smiling on them and being gracious to them, they're usually that means they're coming closer to him. They're realizing at that time, God's being good to me. Maybe I should change my behavior. I believe that there is a supernatural mystery about this priestly blessing. And I believe that if you would try it, God would show you. He will honor it. So you can go to the next one. The prayer of Jabez, I actually just threw that in there as a way of sometimes we forget that our bad thoughts are actually about ourselves. In fact, I would venture to say maybe the majority of you in here deal with bad thoughts about yourself that's holding back the kingdom work in you, because there are thoughts of inadequacy, thoughts that you're not good enough, thoughts you're not living up, you're not good enough to do anything for God or whatever. I can guarantee you that I did not feel equipped or good enough to do anything for God when I was driving here today. I even prayed, God, I know I'm not perfect. I'm such a broken vessel. And you give me this message that I feel is very powerful. I felt his anointing on it. But I'm not, why not have somebody else do this? I just don't feel like I'm worthy. But I felt like he said, I'll make you perfect for an hour. I feel like he said, I will speak through you. You don't have to be perfect to give out this word. So I'm not perfect either. And so I think that we need to remind ourselves that we can ask God to bless us, though. So that's what Jabez did. He was the one who prayed to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain. And God granted him his requests. And that's in 1 Chronicles 4:10. So I just remind you to bless yourself as well. This love is only possible, this kind of love that I've been talking about is only possible through deep consecration. I don't believe that you can will yourself into it. I don't think that you can just say, I'm going to do better, and it happen. I think you have to consecrate, which means spend lots of time with God. And I mean lots of time. I mean, like, if you want to be a disciple of Christ and you want to help spread revival fire throughout this state and nation, and you want to be used by God, you don't want to just put your time in here on earth. You actually want to be used by him. You want to be a special utensil. then you need to consecrate yourself heavily. Prioritize it. Turn off the TV for long periods of time, days, weeks, months, years. Stay in God's word, and he will, that as you get closer to God, he is love. His love will fill you up, and it will come out more naturally. It won't be so hard. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit has been the greatest help that I ever had. Was when I got saved, I wasn't baptized yet in the Holy Spirit. I was walking in like my own, I wanted to love better, but I still was struggling a lot with offenses. But after being baptized in the Holy Spirit, I feel like that I look at people and I just want to bless them. I look at my pastor when he's preaching, I always just, my immediately just like praying blessings over him and seeing his words as he speaks, like thinking that's Jesus talking. Like Jesus is telling me a message. Like I just, and not just him, but I just use him as an example. Like when I look at people, I'm more drawn to bless. And I catch myself when I'm not. And in fact, I can't live with myself if I'm not. Like that is the Holy Spirit. That is not any good that's in me. That's the power of the Holy Spirit inside of me. So I want to talk about that. This is from a book that Smith Wigglesworth wrote about consecration. And he said, we have to get to a place where we know that unless we meet face to face with God and get all the crooked places out of our lives, there will be no room for the Holy Spirit, the indwelling presence of God. We are not our own. 1 Corinthians 6:19. We must have no earthly associations that have a greater influence over us than God does. And I think there's another one from wholehearted surrender, where you do not refer to yourself. You have no justification of your own in regard to anything. You are prepared to be slandered, to be despised by everybody. You have no importance to anybody but God. But because of his personality in you, he reserves you for himself because you are godly. Psalm 4:3. He sets you on high because you have known his name. Psalm 91:14. He causes you to be the fruit of his Spirit to bring forth his glory. So again, that's about consecration. And I just like the way he worded the part that says, you have no justification of your own in regard to anything. You are prepared to be slandered, to be despised by everyone. And you're just going to let it go because Jesus did. Remember, he just walked. He just kept walking and doing what the Father said to do, no matter what anybody said. Even when disciples turned back, He just kept doing what God said to do, no matter what. And that's what we need to do. Go ahead to the next one. This one's from a different book called Delivered from Deep Darkness. And again, it's talking about consecration. There are, actually, I wanted to tell you, the person who wrote this used to be a warlock in Uganda. So he was very familiar with the other side, like the kingdom of darkness. What he says here actually has pierced my heart. He says, and when I get to the bottom, I think you'll understand why. There are spiritual men with such a great light. I encountered such men in my work as a guardian master, and I wanted to know their secret, though I despise Christians. I am highlighting these men to show what a man can achieve when he gives himself completely to God. Now, if only one can so devastate the works of Satan, imagine a community of believers loving each other, united and focused. Such a group can easily destroy and dislodge Satan and his cohorts from the nations of the earth. I hope now you can see why Satan fights to keep the church divided and fighting each other. So this is something that's been really helpful to me in my walk, because when I begin to go to the wrong mind thought or mind thinking patterns, I feel like I'm making the enemy happy. Like I don't want to make him happy. I feel like an example I'm going to share that it's like exposing me, but I'm going to do it. I had an argument with someone and I got in their face. I stepped into their face and I said something, and what I said was actually true. Just like Moses, remember when he struck the rock? What he said was actually true. The people were being stiff-necked, right? But he said it with the wrong attitude, and he didn't obey God. So we have to be careful that sometimes even what we say, even if it's truthful, but we say it with the wrong spirit, we're stepping into the flesh and out of the spirit, and when we step out of the spirit, we're when we step out of the Spirit, we're basically in the devil's playground. We're able to be used by him, manipulated by him. So I feel like that it's helped me stay more in the Spirit and away from the flesh, because if I remember that day in particular that I did that, I feel like I could hear the devil laughing, and I was like, I could hear him saying, I did it. I finally got you to step, you know, into my zone. And it upset me. I was right in the situation, but what I did was wrong. And the way I said it was wrong. And even approaching that person, that was wrong. My body language was wrong. And so I'm embarrassed that I did that, but it also, I turned and I walked away weeping, because I knew I had stepped into the enemy's territory, and I was no longer working for the kingdom of God. So I just share that with you to say, be aware of the enemy's schemes against you. Don't be manipulated by him. You can go to the next one. That is the next one, sorry. Freedom from fatal thinking. If you are thinking on the word of God, it has an anointing around it. It is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing even the thoughts and intents of the heart. It divides the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow of the bones. You are letting a sword pierce and do spiritual surgery on your mind. It begins to cut out negativity and cut out all the stuff that is wrong. Meditating, dwelling, thinking over and over and over again on what God has to say. So I just wanted to point that out again. It's how important it is to be consecrated and to be in his word, so that he can use his word to grow inside of you, and then love will grow inside of you. When the love grows deep, you'll be able to walk in it, and when you're walking in it, you'll be a tool for the master of the house, a utensil ready and set apart for all good work. Okay. So I'm finishing up. I only have a couple more slides. And I just wanted to remind you with the last few slides, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So I just wanted to highlight, you know, put away bitterness, wrath, and slander, and being tenderhearted and remembering that God has forgiven you for much. When I pray with people that have trouble with forgiveness, and the person's done something very terrible to them, very, very terrible, very wrong, it's hard to get rid of bitterness. But when you put it in the light of the fact Jesus has forgiven you, none of us are perfect. We've all messed up. And even our best intentions are filthy rags. Like, we're not even able to give him a good offering, a good sacrifice without his help. We can't even praise him well without his help. It's his spirit within us that cries out, Abba, Father. So the next slide, which is my second to last slide. Work hard so that you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. Avoid worthless, foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior. But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription, "The Lord knows those who are his, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil." 2 Timothy 2:15 through 16. So I feel like the Lord was highlighting this to me. Actually, I added this to the slides just yesterday. I wasn't going to share this, but I felt led to, and I think that it will help you be more able to love deeply when, at the very end, he says he knows all who belong to him, but he's expecting better of you. He wants you, and you can't be responsible for someone else's behavior, but you can be responsible for your own. And only you, and really only God, knows the intent of the heart. Like, we don't even realize ourselves that we're hurting people, and we were hurting ourselves. We sometimes don't even realize it ourselves. But I hope that today that God has, like, sparked some memory of things that you need to repent for. And I do want to take some time and turn to repentance, because I believe that is a key aspect of what God wants for revival, is a repentant heart. So the last slide, I think it's the last slide. For the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain peace. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. And the reason I shared this is oftentimes, again, we get this divide. We have a divide between the Old Testament and the New Testament that we don't have to do anything. We get saved. We're good to go. You can, you know, if we mess up, God will forgive us. But God still takes sin very seriously. If you're walking in sin and any type of sin that I've listed today, he's not really open to your prayers. He's going to be open to your prayers. He says he watches over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. And we see other scripture that confirms that as well, the one that's talking about husbands, you know, basically if you're, you know, treat your wives harshly, that the Lord won't hear your prayers. So we know that, he wants us to walk in holiness, and that's a whole nother sermon, so I won't go there. I think, yeah, there was one more. Sorry, I forgot about that one. The mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. So I just, when I heard that, when I read this verse, I was thinking, we're God's heartbeat. We're God's heartbeat. I don't know. I don't know if, I mean, I just felt like that came to me, that we're God's heartbeat, and he wants us, our heart, to beat for him and actually in alignment with him. Just like everything that is that breaks the heart of God should break our heart, and everything he delights in should delight us. And so right now what I want to do as I close up is, and I'm including myself with this, that we would repent, that we would all repent this morning, that we would take time to take this seriously and repent. And I'm going to, I have a closing prayer, but I also feel like that you should talk to the Lord in a very individual, personal way too this morning. So I'm going to do the closing prayer, and then we could even maybe leave some time for prayer, or I don't know if they want to put on some music and just leave some time. I don't know how you want to arrange that. But I'm just wondering if you would want to bow down on your knees, or if you would want to get in some form of posture that says, I'm sorry, and I'll do that too. So you can repeat after me. This will just get you started. And then after I finish up, you can go ahead and pray individual prayers too. And I pray that, I pray, Lord, that you see our hearts this morning. So dear Lord, you can repeat after me. Dear Lord, I am sorry for not loving deeply. I'm sorry for not taking care of your sheep. Please forgive me. Consecrate me through your word. Remove my thoughts and give me yours. Enable me to see people like you do. Make my thoughts go to the place of compassion instead of resentment, and love instead of offense. Oh Lord, help me do everything for you and not for man. Remove any comparisons in my mind. And may I only compare my feelings and actions with you. And you alone. Holy Spirit, I ask you to help me to love this way. I cannot will myself into this kind of love. This love is from your Spirit. It's not by my might. It's not by my power, but by your Spirit alone, Lord. Fill me with that Spirit right now, God. Let revival ignite in me right now, God, and pour out everywhere I go. Enable me to finally live the life that is worthy of the call you have on me. Enable me to snatch souls from the fire, lay hands on the sick, and see them recover. Enable me to cast out demons with a word. Enable me, through your Spirit, to change this world everywhere I go. In Jesus' almighty and precious name, amen.